Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am coming live to you from the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and along with my co-host,
Assalamu alaikum, Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
Well, and
greetings to you, Brother Bilal, and to our audience.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, brother. Doing well. Looking forward to our most informative show tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you know, we have an open mic tonight, so we are going to continue our open mic. So again, of course, open mic that gives everybody a chance to introduce their business, talk about some of their political concerns, good business ideas. So open mic we're open to an open mic tonight. Brother Aziz, like always, New Africa Business Association, we're network marketing and business identification organization. That's what we're all about. We try to find business so we can stimulate businesses in our community. And we say our community, we know that there is a big need for business growth in the African-American communities. So again, because of the need for business growth, there's a beautiful opportunity for business investments because of that need for business growth. So Brother Aziz is just a continuation of what we've been doing there for the last 6 years, going on our seventh year. So how are you this evening? And of course, any comments you'd like to open up with, and we'll give our audience a chance to come on, and we will open our mics up to them as they come on. Good evening to you, Brother Aziz.
Well, yes, Brother Bilal, good evening and greetings, Brother. I was talking with my daughter a little earlier today, and she was telling me about a conversation she had with another friend about on a job, and she was saying that some Caucasians had said that, you know, why is it that black people eat more chicken than anyone else? Mm. And my daughter says she had to correct her and say, that's not so. She says there are more Kentucky Fried Chickens in China than there are in America. She said, does that let you know something? She said, go look the facts up, business facts. And I said, yeah, you know. But she said, interestingly, her children like fried chicken, but they go all the way across town to get fried chicken from this halal place, restaurant, that sells fried chicken, collard greens, mashed potatoes, and a few other meals, and it's run by some brothers from overseas, some Arab brothers from overseas. It's run by them. And I told her, I said, honey, she said, the chicken is fried good, Daddy. And I said, yeah, you know. And I'm saying, that's good that some people come over and having a good business and putting out a good product in that. But I said, you know what? That whole thing you just described now is not a part of the way they eat. That's not part of their culture. I said, they came over and studied us as a people and figured out just what to do in our community to make money. And here you are telling me that you're driving from one side of Richmond to the other side of Richmond, of course, to get a good quality tasting product. And you say it's a halal chicken and, you know, it's from some Muslim guys over there that sell it from another country. But Daddy, they sell the best chicken. And I said, if we're the ones that started good fried chicken, and there are places that, you know, African-Americans do have it, but my point is, as you have said a lot of times, Brother Balaam, the money and the businesses in our community is just tremendous, $1.some trillion. And people come from other places, and it don't take long to study us, and they set up businesses in our community. That is why it is such a great need for us, as we've been expressing on our program for a number of years now, not that it's benefiting us in any kind of way, but our desire and following the guidance of our teachers, Imam Muhammad and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon, you know, about business practices in our community, the necessary need, like Black Wall Street, as we talked about for years ago. And, you know, we're not going to stop, Brother Bilal, about trying to promote African-American businesses in our community, because we've got to make it, we've got to have it seem like normal again when you're in your own community that you see your own people in business. Right now it's a little bit odd. It's not naturally the way it should be. We have everybody else that's not a part of our community in our community doing the majority, if not all, of the business. It just depends on what location. So our desire, your desire, brother, to continue to promote and identify African-American businesses, to market them, network them together, it's an ongoing effort that we're going to continue to do. And, you know, we pray that we're successful in bringing businesses together and networking and identifying and forming in our community, such as the Black Wall Street business down in Selma, Alabama, that we've been promoting and marketing. Those brothers down there have done a fantastic job and an example of what the Aerie Group, you know, with Brother Harris, they have Sam Harris and company, and Ms. Brenda, they have been doing an outstanding job and an example of things that we should do. And things like this are perhaps going around the country because they've identified to us some of the other black entrepreneurs that are out there doing things. But those are the people that are putting their money together and buying up places wherein they can employ people out of our community, as well as have a business that our community needs and uses every day, but also letting us and let our youth see that they can go in business. They can have opportunity. There are opportunities in our community. And by seeing these things and like that, it helps change and make a better community. So, you know, Brother Bilal, sometimes it gets disappointing because we have a number of people that call in, but they won't come forward and say anything on the networking, you know. That's what we're trying to do, is get some kind of dialogue between us and business people and people interested in going into business. The American, we have been here for, 8 or 9 years or better, promoting African-American business and having African-American business come on, identify themselves, and network with other business people, as well as let it be known they have a business all over the world. And we know that our program does reach out into other countries in Europe as well as the Caribbean. And some places in the Middle East, people are listening in on their internet. And so there's concern there, there's interest there, not only about what we're saying, but mind you, people, they get ideas from us talking over the in this New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. program. They get other people that's not of our community that listen to our program, they get ideas from us. That's the impact that Brother Bilal and I have had in recent years. It's just that a lot of the feedback we get, we don't get it because we see the numbers up there, that the numbers are listening to us. But a lot of the feedback we get are days or even months or sometimes years after we've been on, we find out that someone has been listening to us on a constant basis. And no one has to be afraid to come on our program and talk about business in any kind of manner or fashion that they're able to talk about, as long as they're talking about promoting businesses, identifying businesses, or telling us about a business need, period, that may not be even identified, that we need in our community. So my concern is that I hope Brother Bilal, who's been the sponsor of this program, doesn't get tired of not having responses from our audience out there that's listening. And he's dropped the membership down. The membership is at a very low fee to be a part of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., and to have your business on a website wherein people from all over the world can come and see what business is about, be able to contact you, and perhaps have a business interest that you may be in, that may be there, or they may want to purchase product from you. There's a number of things, but being a member of the New Africa Business Association, having your business on our website, and that it's an advantage that you normally wouldn't get in other types of businesses that promote businesses. It costs a lot of money to get your products out there to countries. Here we are at a small, small fee to become a big, big part of an ongoing forward motion that's in the community that's moving forward at a rapid pace, and that is we becoming to do business with one another on a constant basis, whether it be on a professional level of attorneys, doctors, lawyers, or it be on a different level in other assets of work. Our plumbers, our electricians, you know, our technical people in that. Right down to whatever it is, mom and pop stores. Those are all businesses. And what we're saying is, come on out, let us know who you are. Become a part of the New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C., and get your business marketed all over the country, as well as in many countries outside of the United States. We're going to keep doing it. I'm going to hang on in there with Brother Bilal and participate. I won't say hanging on in there. I'm going to stay on in there with Brother Bilal and participate in continuing to try to grow and grow this effort and this movement of African-Americans doing business with one another, no matter what the business is, but by identifying and letting it be known. We know when Snoop Dogg come out with a new record. We know when Beyonce and Jay-Z come out with new records. We know all this here, bro, man. It's just word of mouth, one of us promoting another one. But we need to do that same way and have that same ambition and drive when it comes to our people doing business. Mm-hmm. Our people doing business. And our people doing business is just like any other group of people doing business. You have those in the community that do excellent work, and then you have some that don't do so excellent work. And this is all we're trying to do is if we identify these businesses, they're bonded and they're legitimate businesses doing work, give them an opportunity to serve you. Mm-hmm. And not go and finance and educate and make the livelihood of others so well who don't even treat you with respect. They're just interested in that dollar. And you helping mm-hmm. them make the dollar. So these are some of the things that the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. are constantly promoting on a regular level, constantly promoting. So, Brother Bilal, that's
Well,
what
Father,
I have to
I'll
say for a starter to our ocean before we start getting some participation?
Well, we certainly thank you for your comments, Brother Aziz. You're absolutely right. We are the New Africa Business Association Network Marketing and Business Identification. We welcome your comments. We're having an open mic discussion tonight. I can tell you we know that this is the National Financial Planning Month. Here in this country, we're dedicating the month of October to getting your finance and your financial planning done all over the country. New Africa Business Association is no different. We meant to have a network marketing and a state planning program on for you tonight. But because of trying to put the program together, we're going to find that we're going to have that program in its entirety next week. So those of you who wish to bring your financial suitability, know about your financial suitability, and that would be in your financial suitability, of course, would consist of a financial planning, estate planning, and retirement planning. So we will have professionals to present each one of those subjects, estate planning. We'll have an attorney to come and tell you all about probate. We'll have our accountant from the New Africa Business Association. They will come in and tell you all about your records and making certain your records are in perfect order. You know, many of times you go to the financial institutions, and it's easy for places like the small business administrations and banks to tell African Americans that your financials are not in order. So again, we will bring on our accountants and those. As a matter of fact, I can see right now from looking at the switchboard, we do have our accountant with us, our estate planner. She said she won't be with us until next week, so we're going to do an entire estate planning program. And I am going to have our accountant to maybe bring up some of the things that you should be aware of, and then you can expect to hear more in detail. But before I bring on the accountant, I'd like to see if there are anyone who has any comments thus far on what has been said, or would you like to maybe identify yourself and give you a chance to participate, and then we will come back and have our accountant to say a few words, bring up some topics that we should know something about. So again, our mics are open. Anyone who has any comments or like to introduce your business, our mics are open, and we certainly welcome your comments. Okay, then we will come back with your comments. And like I said, our mics are going to be open. So if you can hear us, we can hear you. I would ask, though, that until you are ready to speak, please keep your microphones on mute until you are ready to speak, because I have all microphones open. So we can hear you, and also we will be here also hearing any disturbance in the background. So we would ask that put yourself on mute until you're ready to speak, but we certainly welcome your comments. Okay, again, Ms. Baker, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you this evening? Of course, Ms. Baker is MBA accountant with a master's degree. She's been our accountant here at the New Africa Business Association, and also Bynum's and Finance. And I can tell you just about every business here in Washington, D.C. And beyond, they all know this accountant. And I can tell you she's a highly professional. Miss Baker, I said, we meant to do a, again, this is Financial Planning Month. We meant to do an estate planning program this evening, but we're going to defer until next week. But some of the subjects that you would like to present and you think folks should be aware of until you can have more detail, any comments you'd like to make to the audience. And and make certain you do leave your name and everything before you leave. But next week, we will hear all of us will be speaking. And like I said, we will be bringing your suitability. And just that word suitability, a financial suitability, is where the more information you give professionals like myself, a financial planner, or in this case, the taxational person or the accountant, are our attorneys. The more information we can get personally from you as far as your personal finance, your estate planning, and your retirement planning, the better we can serve you. So when I say updating your suitability, that's what I'm talking about, asking questions, or maybe you even are telling us things about your estate that you may need help with. And but the more you information you share with your financial advisor, the more we can help you. So we will be bringing up speaking of the suitabilities report. Miss Baker, anything you would like to add or say until they hear from all of us in our entirety next week?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Basically, it is a couple of things that's coming up. As you know, next Friday is a tax deadline date for those that did extensions. So if you filed your extension, the tax deadline date is next Friday. We have a couple of other deadlines coming up within the next quarter. So I'll talk about some of those next week. But one of the things, just like you were talking about in looking at your financials, you know, in my business, which I've been in this business for 30 years, our small businesses really need to focus on their financials a little bit more now that we're doing a lot of things remotely and things are required to in order for you to move along in this COVID environment. You know, to those that can't do it, it's like you're going to be sort of kind of lost in the sauce because we're moving figures and financials and paperwork a lot remotely now, which you got to be careful about some of that stuff too. So those are some of the things I'll talk about next week, because one of the things in dealing with a lot of small business is that it's a lot of commingling of funds, which you really got to get away from that type of financing in your business, the commingling, and you're using a lot of different avenues to receive your income, which is fine, but you got to be smart about how you use those particular vehicles. My company is Baker Financial Services, located in Dallas, Georgia. My phone number is 301-332-6015. I'll go into detail more of some of the things because we got a lot of things that's going to be happening in this last quarter next week.
Okay, okay, Ms. Baker. And anything that we need to leave them with as far as the PPP loans? I know many of the deadlines.
The PPP loan has, that was over back, I think, like in July or August. I can't remember the date now. Mm-hmm. Basically, a lot of the small businesses that didn't apply for the PPP or just got frustrated with the PPP process, some of them are trying to get the EDIL loan or the EDIL grant, which still is a process of having your financials and your paperwork in order. One of them is a loan, which you do have to pay back. It's a 30-year loan with 3.5% interest rate. You don't have to start paying it back until 2 years after you had it, after you've had the loan. There's other stipulations in how much money you get as far as being a personal guarantee or listing your business asset. Depends on the amount of the loan. But the IRS the SBA has basically given an opportunity to some of the people that did get the loan, initially got the loan, that they can go back in and get some more money. It's to your discretion, whatever you think you need or however much you're going to pay back. But they did put some other stipulations as to how you can spend the money, which before it was basically saying, okay, you can spend the money on your operation of your company, but now they've added business debt and federal debt. Okay, so just looking into some of those avenues, which one of the ones I'm trying to do a little bit more research is the business debt in the federal debt to see if that's even advantageous for a small business to do that. Then you have the grant. The grant is basically for businesses that have a business address in a low-income community, meaning that you can at least get up to, I think it's like $15,000, and you don't have to pay that back.
Mm-hmm.
So I know with the business loan, EDIL, that one is supposed to expire on December 31st of this year, but I haven't heard anything else about the grant. Maybe I can find that out for the next time, but and the way that you find out that your business is in a low income, they have a map search, so you can go into the SBA and put your address in, and it'll tell you if you're in a low income area or not. If you're not, you can't apply. If you are, you can apply.
Okay.
Those are some of the things that's going on now. And then it's various small companies, investment companies that's out here doing low interest loans and grants and things. It just depends on your industry.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP has a website that you can get hooked up to as a small business. And they come out every week with things that are happening in our community as far as grants and small businesses. It's a small business forum. It's very informational if you're looking for different things based on your industry.
Okay.
So it's a lot of things happening. It's a lot of information out there, and I know it could be information overload, but as a small business, this is the only way we are communicating right now and getting information out is through the computer or online or through Zoom or however we have to get the information. But that NAACP website is called Hello Alice, and it's very informational.
Okay, Ms. Baker, and like I said, next week we will have the three professionals, including myself, and we will be bringing you up to date. But you see, that's what I mean about suitability and updating your financial suitabilities. Some of the topics that Ms. Baker was sort of generalizing on and trying, and of course we will be going to depth, much more depth next week. But this is what we can, this is what suitability is all about. Looking at your financial picture, asking you professional financial questions. And once we get answers to these questions, now professionals like myself, our attorneys, our accountants, or what have you, can now know what to do as far as making certain that your finance, there will be stability in your finance from the time you start putting together your financial planning. From beginning, when I say beginning, I suppose from the time you start your professional career, whether it's on your job or business, until you retire, and of course you look to have a guaranteed and secured retirement. And this is what financial planners can, along with the estate planners and the accountants, we can do if we have a good suitability reading. So again, we will be bringing you much more information, because Ms. Baker and I both know, along with our shortage of having businesses in our communities, when it comes to our finances, especially in the African-American communities, we could come up hurt, especially when it comes to estate planning. In many places, parts of the country, you may not have the privilege of having a professional African-American such as Ms. Baker, or a financial planner such as myself, or an estate planner, an attorney such as the attorney who will be on, and all of us represent the New Africa Business Association. So again, this is the privilege, this is the value, I'm sorry, of being a member and having a professional business association where you can get in contact with us, and we will be able to help you regardless as to where you live, because the New Africa Business Association, we are a national business association. So we have we network and have contacts with each other all over the country. Yes, go right ahead, please. I think someone had a question.
Yeah, Brother Bonham, Brother Aziz, yes. This is Sam Harris. Yes. I had a question.
No. Yeah. You're going to have much more than a question. We need just to let the brothers, I was going to bring this up, but we have Brother Harris on here with us. We have come a long way on the Selma investments. We almost there. I told you we were going to do this. So again, with that said, Brother Harris, I'm going to just turn it right over to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Bonham. I just want to Sister Baker, what an outstanding job in her presentation. And this is essential information and knowledge in our communities. We have spent the last 90 days traveling to 15 different major destinations where African Americans reside and have amazing businesses. And one of the things that we have recognized is that our businesses are not ready for prime time because we don't have the financial information or the financial intelligence within our arsenal to be able to scale our businesses. It is so important, if you don't have a financial plan, that you take advantage of what New Africa Business Association and all other professional financial planners are going to be providing to the members and get a plan in place, because we're in a new dynamic. After COVID-19, everything is different. You have to understand that if you're not in a remote place, what are your options? What can you deduct? What can you write off? And she made a comment about commingling of funds. And I have to say this. One of the primary reasons why African American business and large have commingling of funds is because they're constantly having a shortage. And the reason why we have a shortage is we're not doing enough business with each other. We can resolve that by getting good advice, getting a sound plan in place, and make a commitment to do business with each other wherever we're at. If there's a real estate broker in your area that's African American and you're buying a home or selling a home, you should call them first.
Yeah.
If you have a pension plan and you're getting ready to retire and you need to move some money into an investment bank account or to a mutual fund or to a annuity or some type of trust, you should be calling an African-American financial planner first. If you're looking to start a new business, you should be talking to a financial broker that's African-American first. I'm not saying that's the only option, but because our communities are so limited, we have to be intentional and do the things that we have not done for the last 40, 50 years, which is look for our brothers and sisters that are taking the risk to try to do something to make our communities better and our families better. So I would say my first thought to anyone that's listening, be intentional in everything you do and make sure you're being intentional and doing business with African-American professionals.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Again, we have thanks so much, Brother Harris, for those comments. But Brother Harris, like I said, we like to hear more proactive now. You guys are being down in Selma, and how close are we, and what do we need to close the deal?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're very close to what we need. Right now, we're 58,000 short of what we need to be able to put in our bid. There is another group that's putting in the bid. They have the full amount, but it doesn't guarantee they're going to get it. And as I said to Brother Bynum, for anyone that's a member of the New Africa Association, if you want to put your capital to work, we're willing to pay a 10% guarantee on your capital as a loan, because right now the dollar amount is so low. For anyone that would put anything in now, there would not be an opportunity for you to get equity, but you still can get a good return on capital. This is what we call private corporate contracts. This is where one private business does an arrangement with another private individual and pay a stated return on capital. If you want to know how the large corporations do business, they deal in what's called private corporate contracts, guaranteed. They do it every day, the Microsofts, the Teslas, the J.P. Morgans, the railroads, major oil companies. They move money around because they get capital from other corporations or capital from subsidiary corporations so that they can continue to grow their business and scale. So right now we're 58,000 short of the goal. And if there's anyone within the membership that would like to participate only on as a debt to get a guaranteed return on that capital over 120 days, it will be repaid back to you. It will be an agreement directly with our real estate brokerage. And we will be able to put in our bid and hopefully secure this property because it's going to be on the call. We have anybody ever heard of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation? They just announced that they're relocating half, Brother Aziz, they're relocating half of their internal staff to Alabama.
Whoa.
So what that means is that is going to drive up real estate prices and opportunity for those people that have the opportunity and the fortitude to start investing into some of these smaller communities like Huntsville, Alabama, like Selma, like Montgomery and Birmingham. These are all high growth areas. So if you're listening to your financial planner and you have capital that you can put to work that may be getting less than a good rate of return, 10% is a heck of a lot better than 2 or 3. So if you had capital that you can put to work to get a decent return on it, using real estate as an option, and of course you want to make sure you're talking with your advisor and it makes sense for you and what you're doing. But Alabama is on fire. Selma, since the last time we talked, there are so many new opportunities that have come about. The Congress has announced that they're going to pass the bill for Highway 65, which is going to create a gateway of opportunity. So the Highway 14 will become an international highway through 65 from Atlanta directly through Selma. So for those folks that have been listening to us for a little over a year, you haven't missed the opportunity, but, man, the door is closing because people are taking heed to understanding that the smaller city like Selma will be the D.C. of the future, will be the Atlanta of the future, will be the Tampa, Florida of the future, because the point of entry is currently so low that all you have to do is be patient and you will win. So I'm encouraged by the efforts that we had. And the one thing that I would like to say, Brother Bonham, is you and the group having the financial advisors doing that summit and that call next week is so important. Because with all the number of calls that we have made to our own African-American community, most of the funding that we've received have been from brothers and sisters that don't look like us, that believe in the mission, that believe in the cause and want to see us do well. But far too long, we've had too little participation from our own community, and we wonder why we're in the situations that we're in is because we're not in the game. We're not even competing to win. We're not even competing to see other people win. We're basically just passing time by, hoping something good happens, or we just want to celebrate for the weekend and get back to work. But I'm from the South, and I hear a dog in the background. My grandfather would always tell me, that dog won't hunt. If you don't participate in the game, that dog won't hunt. If you don't put no money in, that dog won't hunt.
That's right.
If you want a better future for your family and your children's children, you can't stay on the sidelines anymore. You can't be to the point where you're afraid of risk, because being in business is all about risk, but it's calculated risk. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between uncalculated risk and calculated risk. Calculated risk is, hey, if I put my capital to work in an area of real estate or investment and I hang on for 5 to 10 years, I calculate that I can be able to overcome any downfalls in the market. That's what calculated risk is. We're not talking about something that is new, that is foreign, that has never been done. We're talking proven time after time throughout all of history. It is shown that real estate investment is one of the most powerful investments that you can have. Unbeknownst to real estate, the most powerful investment opportunity that we can have outside of real estate and financial planning investment is investment in business. If you can invest into a startup company that was Microsoft 35 years ago, you would be stone wealthy. And see, my brothers and sisters, a wise man once told me, he says, if your people could ever learn the power of group economics, not only will you control your own destiny, you can control every industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because African Americans are trendsetters in every aspect. It doesn't matter what industry. And
mm-hmm.
he says that we have to get the mindset that group economics doesn't mean that you got to own the whole thing. What if
mm-hmm.
you had 1% ownership of Apple
mm-hmm.
as a group?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had 1% ownership of Tesla as a group?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had 1% ownership of Pfizer Pharmaceutical?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had 1% ownership of IBM or
mm-hmm.
J.P. Morgan Chase or Citigroup or Bank of America or ARC Funding or Magellan? Anybody ever heard of Magellan Fund? What if you had 1% of your assets
mm-hmm.
as a group in the Magellan Fund?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had 1% into Fidelity or Templeton?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had money into Van Camp, American Fund? What if you were 1% into an asset management where you had the next AI technology that you are able to invest in as a group? That's how you're able to build wealth. That's how we're able to overcome some of the things. So I am encouraged that we're going to get more participation from the African-American community, the business community. But at the same time, I'm also heartened that it takes so much effort to get us to raise $10,000 when our counterparts are raising $100 million in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It is heartening to know that when we presented to the group maybe about 2 months ago about the opportunity to purchase a retail center that is 100% occupied, that is producing revenue.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That with the development, it will produce 5 times the return on the value. We got
mm-hmm.
the data. We have the information. But we could not get any African-American groups to come together, individually or groups, to say, hey, I don't have $500,000. I got $1 million. Let's go put it to work. That is the disheartening part of this whole task, because I'll tell you, Brother Aziz, Brother Bonham, we're not doing this for money, and we're going to make a lot of it, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
when you do good business, you're supposed to make money.
Mm-hmm.
When you study and you put all the hard work in and you get the licenses and you stay in compliance and you do all the necessary filings, you're supposed to make a lot of money. But that's not what drives us. What drives us is what our communities could be. How many more multimillionaires could we be responsible for creating as a group? How many more developments could we create, own, and control our own destiny to where we don't have to ask anybody for permission of what we do. We don't have to worry about what Congress is doing or what the Senate is not going to do. Because think about the word Senate. It means I'm going to send it somewhere else. That means they ain't going to do nothing. The
mm-hmm.
Senate ain't going to do nothing. It don't matter if they're Democrat or Republican or independent. The Senate means send it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know the people there in Washington are going to send it somewhere else, what you have to be able to do is to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. I'm going to start doing the things that are necessary for me as an individual or my company to stand on my own 2 feet and not ask for permission and start practicing group economics within the African-American community so that we can thrive. So I am encouraged that we have the momentum going, Brother Bonham. But like I said, the disheartening part is that it is like pulling teeth out of alligator. And if you've ever done that before, that's pretty hard.
Hmm.
Now, as a young man, I have wrestled alligators when I was 12 or 13, and I was a little crazy. Now, I won't do that now, but one of the things when you're tussling and turning with that alligator that's a little baby alligator, you know, you can get away from that. But when that mama alligator comes, there's not much you can do. It's over. So we're dealing in our community with a bunch of alligator teeth-pulling situations that are very tough to get a hold of. And the only way that we can get around that toughness is that we have to be able to stand back, look at where we've been, and look at where we want to go, and start working with each other. Let's start fishing in a different pond where there are no alligators. Let's start working with each other where the alligators are non-existent, to where we can do things, to where we can build wealth and a foundation, like Sister Baker was saying, so that we can intelligently be able to not only plan for the future, but create generational wealth that our children's children can have. So I'm encouraged, Brother Bynum. I'm encouraged.
Thanks so much, Brother Harris. Brother Harris, but I need to add one more analysis to what you were saying on that 1%. And that is, just think if we had 1% of the $1.7 trillion that we spent in consumer spending last year. Just think, if we could get 1% of that within the next year, 1%, as to where we have 1% of our business going on in our African-American communities, all of, because 1% of $1.7 trillion, brothers, we have many businesses in every community in our communities. If we just took 1% of the $1.7 trillion we're giving to somebody else. And again, like I said so many times, you know, certainly business has a risk. But let me say this, brother and sister. Isaiah started out this conversation talking about his daughter went and had chicken in Richmond. She went across town to buy it, and she was buying halal chickens. And she had to go across town out of the African-American community to buy the chicken. You see, that is a perfect example of what I mean about putting the businesses right back in your community. See, that's how you get that $1.7 trillion circulated back into your communities. Let me also say this. If you have the business, if you have these businesses right in your own communities, if you open a Sunoco filling station right now, and whatever African-American community you live in, and of course, you know, these filling stations now, they have it all, come with all kinds of other conveniences that you sell it out of the store, but they still call it a gas station, but it's everything but a gas station. But if you had one, if you right now invested into let's say a Sunoco filling station, tell me what kind of a risk you think you're taking. I would say, you can't do nothing but make money. You're the only filling station in town.
That's right. That's
the situation in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. Right now, you should be, I would think, like the brother said, we're giving you all kinds of, and I know the opportunities, Brother Harris, and by the way, brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this mic up, give you a chance to ask some questions, but make certain you take Brother Harris, and make certain you take the information here at the New African Business Association, because not only Selma, but we're going to be creating businesses all over this country. And yes, just like I've always said, New African Business Association, our investment a club, myself, I'll be the one to put up the first 5,000. But we're saying we want 5,000. We're looking for $5,000 investors, and we want to hurry up and get 1,000. But we need about 1 million of you. And these $5,000 investment that you will be making is to create businesses, again, all over this country. Yes, when we get $1 million in our escrows and our accounts, then we will decide where we're going to open these businesses, where we're going to open a Sunoco filling station, how many different cities are we going to open, whatever services that, because, again, in the African-American community, all businesses are needed. And, again, we're not talking about doing nothing but servicing right now our own clientele, making certain
that's
that
right.
We can get our own brothers and sisters the goods and services that they're willing to pay for. But I'm saying at the same time, if you're willing to pay for these things, why not become the owners? And like I said, I'm not interested, brothers and sisters, in owning a business by myself, especially at my age. But I am interested. If we came up buying them, we're going to open a Sunoco service station wherever, a black communities. Don't make no difference, because I know wherever it is, if that black community has a good business-sized population, whatever that filling station we're talking about opening up, it's going to make money. It has to make money. How can
that's
it
right.
not
right.
make money? The chicken place that Brother Aziz said his daughter, if we had the chicken place right there where she could have gone in her own community, how can it not make money?
Right.
Again, this business of risk, I can't tell you that there's not risk in business. I would be telling you a lie. Certainly there's always going to be a risk. But I'm saying when you start seeing a situation where I have a community that is spending $1.7 trillion and there are no businesses in that community, man, that's the community I want to hurry up and get in. And if I'm a member of that community, then me and my community of members, we need to sit down and talk. We need to start a business association, and that's the problem in our communities. You got to...
Absolutely.
You don't have any business communities. No, nobody has a business community. No kind of business. And every community, especially African American, you should have a business community in your community. So again, we're going to open these mics up. Harris, very important programs, but any questions that you may have or any comments you may have are just, you still have a chance to tell us about your business. Our mics are open and we welcome your comments.
Hey, Brother Bynum, I wanted to just kind of recap.
Go right ahead, Brother Harris.
If anybody wanted to reach us, they can go to samjenrealty.com. Go to the contact page and fill out the information, and they can let us know if they're interested in one of our developments or if they're interested in doing something within their community. So if they go to SamJen, that's SamJenRealty.com, or they can call us directly at 813-358-5947. And as I was stating earlier, that we do have an opportunity to be able to put in the bid. We need $58,000 for the remaining amount to put in. Doesn't guarantee that we're going to win it, but we'll at least be in position. And for anyone that can help us do that, we're paying a 10% on the return on that capital over 120 days to that individual business or entity. Now, private corporate contracts is not an investment vehicle, so let's make sure we put that disclaimer out there. Private corporate contracts is a written agreement between one business to another. This is done all over the world with major corporations. This is how money is built. This is how wealth is built, is private corporations partner with other companies so that they can scale their business to get access to capital they need right now so they can take advantage of opportunities. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Harris. Again, our mics are still open, anyone who have any questions, any comments, I do want to say before I turn the mics open to you that we from 7 until 8 o'clock, we are on our Eastern Standard Time. I mean, Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And at 8 o'clock, we switch over to our Standard Time, which means we start marketing now and identifying our markets in the southern parts of the country, such as Texas, Oklahoma, and Mississippi, and those parts of the country. So again, do we have any of our directors from Oklahoma or Texas or Mississippi or any of our Standard Time marketing guests or directors? Are any of you with us? Okay, Brother Aziz, it is their time, and but in any case, until they do come on, our mics are open, and we will continue as long as the show stays interesting. Then our mics are open. Do we have any comments, any questions from any of our guest speakers? Our mics are open.
Yes, Brother Bilal. I wanted to say that that for our listeners out there, Brother Harris gave up some valuable information on group financing and some great examples of the real, you know, that has taken place on group financing and the benefits that come from group financing. And I hope that our listeners out there will listen to that, because it was very motivating for those who listened, as well as myself, of course. That's why I'm bringing it up. And that group financing has been something and somewhat that's not what we've been stressing on the New African Business Association, Washington, D.C., but identifying and marketing your business is what we've been doing. But with Brother Harris bringing out the essence of what this group financing can do and has done for different groups of people, as well as the businesses doing, big businesses doing financing one another, that is some valuable information. And I want to thank Brother Harris for sharing that information with us, as well as sharing it with the group, because, you know, I hope that they benefited from that. And
oh,
thank
absolutely.
You, Brother Harris, for that, sharing that.
Absolutely. Brother Izzy, one of the things that we realize is that every group does exactly what we were talking about, except for African Americans. Now, that is starting to change, because there are some African American groups out there that are not only highly intelligent, but they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they have gone through the trials and tribulations, understanding that they cannot do what we're talking about doing without practicing group economics. In California, there's a group called the Crenshaw Group in Los Angeles. A group of 2,400.
Yes, familiar with them.
A group of 2,400 African American men and women, even Caucasian and Hispanic people, came together. 2,400, not 24,000, not 24 million. Mm-hmm. 2,400 came together and raised $60 million.
Yeah.
2,400 people. 2,400 people, not from D.C., not from New York, not from San Francisco, but people from Los Angeles, the people in the community, says, hey, we don't want our community to be gentrified. Let's create the ecosystem where we can own and control our own business district. So they raised the money, Brother Bynum, of $60 million. Mm-hmm. They got the financial backing of a lender for the remaining $65 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in a bid to buy one of the largest malls in the United States. It's called the Crenshaw Mall.
Mm-hmm.
they lost the bid, even though they got the money. They had a higher bid than the other group that was aligned with the right people. They won a bid for $112 million, and the Crenshaw group put in the bid for $130 million, and they lost. The reason why they lost is not because they couldn't do it. It's that you have to own and control the block. You can't go in without no ownership of nothing and expect to get something. Because people, they look at you and say, hey, what have you done? What are you doing? Can you do this? They had the best engineers, the best architects, the best designers, the best real estate person, and they still got turned down with a bank load of money, 2,400 people. So what that tells us is that it is so important that New Africa Business Association becomes a dominant membership organization that helps bring African-American business together to connect the dots, to create an ecosystem where we can never get outbidded by someone that's putting in a less bid than we are, that we can never be in a position to say, well, I don't want to sell it to him because he don't look like me. Imagine if we own and control the block in Crenshaw before they put in the bid, it would have been much easier for them to win because ownership is the key. So when you own the block, when you own the industry, when you own the supply line, when you own the financial instruments, creating your own financial instruments, just like the Jewish community. The Jewish community has been using private contracts since they stepped on the soil in America. How do you think they finance the retail business? How do you think they finance the brokerage houses, the big factories? That money didn't come from the government. It didn't come from banks. It came from private companies. This is, hey, we're going to put up the money.
That's right.
So what we're trying to do is to get our people, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter, be a part of the ecosystem that allows us to find unique opportunities that we can take advantage of as a group so that we can scale and benefit all of us, not just a few, but all of us that participate. Now, remember, the key word is participation. If you don't participate, you don't get none. There's an old saying saying, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't participate, you can't eat either. So we need more participation in our community when it comes to capital investment into group economic opportunities that we're talking about. Brother Aziz, thank you so much for those kind words, and we're looking forward to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Again, our mics are open. Anyone who have questions, we welcome your questions. All right. All right. In that case, we will. You know, Miss Baker. You know, this is what I meant when I was saying, and hopefully you can put some help us put some enlightenment on this. But to see the first thing, like we're saying here, and Brother Harris was saying, we are going to, if we became our each other's, and I heard you say this, I took this from you, Brother Harris, if we became each other's asset, in other words, we're each other's bank. And like I was saying, and Brother Harris just gave you a perfect example of what happens when a large community like California become each other's assets. And that's what, and see, that's the very example of what we're talking about when we're talking about group investment. We know that there's redlining. We know that there's all kinds of obstacles out there that's going to stop you simply because they don't want you to succeed, especially your black community. But they can't stop you from succeeding if you want to be successful. And so this redlining thing is nothing that can stop you, because Brother Harris just said the community got together and they came up with hundreds of millions of dollars. The same thing that we're saying here. If you're ready to right now to be proactive and be ready right now to invest into a business, because you have the floor that Brother Harris and them are looking for in order to participate in, and because these brothers are already spending millions of dollars. So if you want to be a part of that, call Brother Harris and the number that he provided for you, and get much more information as to where you can come in being a business owner, being a part of business. But the New Africa Business Association, we're looking for commitment. And those commitments is, like I said, our investment commitment is $5,000 per member. First of all, we ask you to become a member. Our membership is only $50 now. So you can become a member by going on to the New Africa Business Association.com, Washington, D.C., and look up membership. But as far as our investment efforts, and this is where we're talking about becoming each other's assets, becoming each other's bank. We're now talking about, we don't want your monies. I mean, I don't want you to send me one dime, please. But I do want your commitments, saying that, yes, I would like to put a filling station. I would like to put this physical business in whatever community you live in. And then once you we have this information, we as a collected group can now decide if we put this, where do we put the filling station? Where do we put this physical business?
Right.
But my question with Ms. Baker, many times we're going to run into this thing, who's going to keep the money? Whose hands, where's the money? Ms. Baker, and this is what I was leaning, and this is some of the things we'll be talking about next week, is the different types of incorporations and how safe your monies is when you incorporate. But Ms. Baker, can you elaborate some on just what happens when you entertain what Brother Harris and the New Africa Business Association, what we've been talking about this evening, and that is as to where we can pool our funds, business.
Well, just like you said, if you're looking into set up a collaboration with a group, is better for you to be incorporated. That gives you more protection in the group, and you're just not out there by yourself. I mean, you know, far as if anything happened to the funding or anything like that, it's a lot of things that go on. I mean, a lot of things you're protected with inside a corporation, or if you wanted to set up, you know, that type of entity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like you were saying, it's like, you know, if you don't want to run, I mean, if you don't want to go into it by yourself, it's best to just like find a group of people, of like-minded people, and set up a corporation. So therefore, everybody is protected under that particular corporation.
Excellent. And this is the type of information, again, when the three of us come on next week, we will be able to go into more details and we'll be able to go into more details and try to reassure you as to where we can invest together, and you can be reassured that your money's and is safe, and you ain't got to worry about, like you said, who's holding the money, because which means who's holding the money, who's going to run away with the money. And so all of that can be reassured. But like I said, we know that when it comes to business knowledge, business finance, financial planning. Yes, I know we have look at the information you picked up tonight. This is what professional financial planners can help. We have the professionals to take us there. We need your monies to help grow our communities. We ain't talking about going out growing communities uptown or somewhere, right in our own black, right in your communities. We want to grow a business in your communities, wherever they may be, Mississippi, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Pennsylvania, Jersey. We want to grow businesses all over this country because, again, why? $1.7 trillion. That's just consumer spending. My goodness, we ain't talked about all the taxational spendings, and we haven't even gotten into it. Look, the dirty money that we spend. Well, the African Americans come in contact with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, like the brother said, when can we take and turn that money into ownership? So again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. What can I say? Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Yeah, Brother Bynum, as I was listening to Sister Baker, and one of the things that in our communities, when people are looking to put capital to work, people want to wonder, where is the money going? Who's having, mm-hmm. who has control? Mm-hmm. But when you invest your money into the open market, you don't know where that money's going. What you're investing in is not so much where it's going, but what it can become. You're looking at the management of the company. You're looking at the opportunity of the products and services that they're offering. Can they offer something that will be here 5 or 10 years in the future? So you're investing into the belief that Apple is going to do well over the next 10 years. You're investing in the belief that J.P. Morgan is going to make smart decisions. Now, they could make incorrect decisions and you could lose. But because as a savvy investor or in what we call financial intelligent investor, you're looking at the management. You're looking at the reputation, the skill set, the experience. So when you look at a developer, you want to look, where have you been? How long have you been around? Where are you licensed? What are you doing? So when it comes to the things that we're proposing for the Black Belt District, for us to be able to rebuild the communities, not just in Selma. Selma happens to be the ground zero, but we need to do it in Dallas, Georgia. We need to do it in Hoboken, New Jersey. We need to do it in Pennsylvania, Kingston, Pennsylvania. We need to do it in Gary, Indiana. But in order to get to those places, we got to be able to do it right to have the blueprint so that we can follow. The Black Belt District would allow African-American businesses not only to thrive, but build generational wealth well beyond what we can imagine, but we have to stop playing what I call tricky games with each other when we go put our money into cryptocurrency. You know?
Yeah.
We put our money into these different things hoping we're going to get something, and a lot of times we lose. You can get a better return with an African-American financial planner or a real estate broker or developer than some of the investments that we put our money in. When I listen to Sister Baker, she's been in the business for over 30 years. Imagine. When we put our group economic and capital to work and we open up 100 Baker Financial Services across the United States, she has the blueprint. But there's someone in Selma, Alabama that wants to be a financial advisor. But they need the leadership. They need the playbook. Sister Baker has the playbook. So if she had the capital that was needed to expand to these different places, her business would go from being in Dallas, Georgia, to being in multiple states with thriving businesses, taking young men and women that want to be in the financial service business, teaching them a trade, Being an investment advisor is a trade. It's a skill that you can take anywhere. Everybody needs it. So we should be focused on high-growth entrepreneurs like Sister Baker and helping her not just reach her potential, but also helping her have the guidance and the fortitude to help so many other young African-American men and women that are at HBCUs studying finance,
that's
studying
right.
derivatives, studying
mm-hmm.
investment banking, creating
mm-hmm.
the next
yeah.
Einstein in pharmaceutical technology. All of that comes from capital.
Mm-hmm.
Any investment you see out there, any innovation that you see comes from the pooling of capital from individuals that see something that most of us can't see in front of our own eyes. A person that is a visionary or intuitive that has enough foresight to say, hey, the future is going to be this. We're going to put capital behind it. We're going to harness it so that it can thrive. That's what we're talking about through the New Africa Business Association, is rebuilding the Black Belt Wall Street districts so that we can be able to thrive, to open up a Baker Financial Service in every African-American community. Because right now, Sister Baker, we don't have them. If you go to the African-American community, you cannot find a wealth advisor. All the wealth advisors are in the suburbs or in the downtown high-rises. They bypass our communities every day.
Yeah.
If we have enough fortitude to see, hey, where the future is at, let's start developing a game plan to make sure the capital that is necessary to get the licenses for all of those states that Baker Financial Services get licensed in. Get the training facilities so that we can train the next generation or financial investment bankers that can create opportunities for our businesses. Every group does it. There was a study put out last week. One of the things we hear a lot of is that you don't need to go to college or you don't need a college degree. Some people believe that, and depending on who you are, you may be right. But I believe our African-American young men and women, we need college education because
mm-hmm.
we're so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But the study said, Sister Baker, is that Caucasian families are taking their sons and daughters out of the college institution system. And what they're doing is they're putting them into the corporate boardroom, grooming them to be the next generations of leaders for corporate America. This happened at the beginning of the century. It happened in slavery, and it happened before slavery. Every time there's a generational shift, the companies and individuals that have amassed wealth, they're trying to figure out ways to protect it. The only way that they can protect their wealth is that they have to start training their young men and women now how to run large institutions to where they will continue in the future. That is what we should be doing in the African-American community. We should be having an incubator system that we have men and women coming to work for Baker Financial Services, learning how to get licensed, learning what derivatives are, learning what asset management is, asset allocation, understanding what a mutual fund is versus a stock, what an annuity is, what is a structural settlement, what is building wealth, what is real wealth, how are you able to create family offices within the African-American community to wealth transfers from one generation to another. How do we harness the intellectual knowledge of our young people that are creating art, music, sound, theatrics, new scientific studies that are breaking through, but they don't own the intellectual technology. They don't have the intellectual patents, the trademarks. There is so much that we have to do. We're so far behind. And it's only because we don't practice group economics. When we begin
right.
to do that, when we begin to practice that group economics, all the things that have been discussed on this call tonight will mm-hmm. begin to shape a new foundation
mm-hmm.
for African-American businesses all over this country. Mm-hmm. You will see Baker Financial Services in D.C., in Kensington, in Oakland, Nevada, Los Angeles, Las Vegas,
right.
Tampa,
mm-hmm.
Little Haiti, Orlando.
That's right.
You will see them everywhere, and they will have the blueprint. Because someone that has the intellectual skill as Sister Baker, that has been in this business for 30 years, we got to transfer that intellectual knowledge, because if we don't, it's going to take another 30 years to create another Sister Baker.
That's right.
There's
right.
no reason for us to take another 30 years when we have one right before us that we need to be duplicating at what we call warp speed. We need
that's
to be
right.
so on fire about doing this, we don't need to be sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Harris.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a brother and sister and brother, when we start, and I'm coming right back to you, Baker, but you
uh-huh.
see, this is what I mean when I start talking about your financial suitability. Brother Harris is a financial planner. And so working with him is easy for me. It does nothing but a fee. But like I said, when you start talking about suitability, you see the information that we as professionals are able to share with you, and then the information we're able to get back from you, you see how we can help you to fulfill your financial dreams and your financial goals. And you can also see the mistakes that you yourself are making by not having professionals such as ourselves working with you. So again, we'll be back, and we'll be back next week with the whole professional crew. But again, this is what putting together a suitability information so we can put together a financial a retirement. Our financial planning and pictures for you. This is what, again, a suitability financial report is all about. The more professional information you can hear from us, or the more information that we can get from Baker. Any comments you wish to make, but the biggest thing I want to make certain that the business folks out there and those who need your services can get in touch with you. So I'm coming back to you, Ms. Baker.
Yes, I just wanted to piggyback off of, just like you said, the education of trying to educate the small businesses of this concept. I mean, you know, when I talk to them about, you know, different things, the growth of your business, or even if they wanted to sell their business to make money, you know, some of them don't even understand that process. So it's just like, you know, and they have something of value, but they don't know what that value is. So just like you said, in trying to educate financially at a, you know, very level, and then at a very low level, and then, you know, just like you said, our next generation, getting them ready to set up small business and understanding it from the beginning. That's the value.
Mm-hmm.
That's the value in what financial planning and financial gathering of figures and things like that, because you really don't get it to that in that detail in college. I didn't get it. I don't even think there might be a little bit more teaching it now, But in the real world, it's a little bit different. So if we have those mentors and those experienced people out there with the education, not only for our future, but also for our existing ones. And our existing ones, some of them have been in business, but their knowledge still needs to be refined in this new technology world. You know, because everything is technical now, even in accounting. You know, it's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as to, you know, how do you get all these figures? What do you do with all these figures and stuff like that? I mean, you know, it's very technical. And a lot of the people that been in business like I have, like 30 years, if they have not updated their technical skills, their businesses is not going anywhere.
Ms. Baker, let's hit it right on the head. And every 5 years or so, I keep using this word suitability because that's what you're going to hear a lot of. But every five years or so, your suitability report is going to change. So the whole thing is knowledge, and that's what I mean about the change. The change is the knowledge. We're not forced to go through all these here CE credits that you and I, myself, Miss Baker, and financial planners, accountants, bankers. We have to go through these CE credits every 2 or 3 years to prove that we're up to date with the financial changes and the knowledge that has changed. So the average business person who is not a professional, a licensed professional in finance, without the advice of a professional licensed financial planners, you don't have any information. It's impossible for you to get the information because you're not studying the field. And so, like I said, not only do we have to every 5 years or so, you're probably coming out with a brand new changes that affects your business. And if you're not aware of these changes, I know Baker, Ms. Baker, working with you on some cases that we worked on, a lot of monies was left on the table because African Americans just wasn't aware of the changes, and many of them was frightened of making changes. I mean, changes, and they went out and paid thousands of dollars that they shouldn't have paid simply because of changes, not being informed, and then fear. And you're paying thousands of dollars because of the unknown. So, again, you need these professionals. We know that we're needed. So, Ms. Baker, I look forward to having you and the estate planner on with me next week. And Brother Harris, hopefully you can come back, and any other real estate folks, bankers, we need all of you to come on because our community needs your information. And I think that the more you know about business, like I said, the less Brother Harris and I would have to worry about pulling teeth from an alligator, because I've been in some pretty bad situations, but if I have to pull that teeth from the alligator, I think I'm going to have to get me another client. But in any case, as you can see, most of us are willing to do whatever it is we have to do to satisfy our clientele. Ms. Baker, did everybody make certain that you can get in touch with Ms. Baker? You know how to get in touch with Brother Harris. And like I said, the New Africa Business Association, New Africa Business Association, .com, Washington, D.C. If you wish to send us an email, nabassoc@gmail.com. nabassoc@gmail.com. And again, every Wednesday from 7 to 8. Now we have extended that time to 7 until 9. And next week, and like I said, this is a financial planning history, but financial planning's financial planning month has been declared in this country. This is October is going to be the financial planning month, and I can see why, because at this time of year, you certainly want to start getting your finances in order and knowing about the many, many different changes. So again, Ms. Baker, thanks so much. Brother Harris, thanks so much for your time. Anyone who have questions or many comments you have heard this evening, we certainly welcome your questions. Our mics are still open.
Yeah, Brother Bynum, I just want to thank you, Sister Baker, Brother Aziz, for being on the call. It's a total delight to be among professionals like yourself. Our community needs this very much so. And if you made a commitment to talk about this every single Wednesday for the next year, it will be worth it because there's so much that has to be done in our community. And my hat's off to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation.
So, Brother Aziz, any comments that you want to make in closing? We're going to listen to whatever comments you want to make. Again, just before we do go to you, Brother Aziz, we'll give our audience a chance again. Anybody have any comments or questions? Our mics are open to you. Okay, Brother Aziz, I'm going to any comments you'd like to make, and we will we're not going to waste each other's time. If we don't have something constructive to talk about, we'll just go ahead and close out.
All right. My closing comments would be, I'd like to thank everyone that participated in our show today, Brother Harris, Ms. Baker, yourself, and myself, because I tell you, for me, it was a very educational, interesting, and exciting show. So those that listened to the show tonight, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and I did, and we look forward to next week, Brother Bynum.
All right. And again, next week we will be bringing you our topic, our financial planning and network marketing. I'm sorry, we'll be giving you our financial planning. We'll be picking that up. We'll be advertising our financial planning, retirement financial planning, and estate planning. And we will have myself, the accountant, and the attorney will be on with us next week to help flow to answer most of your questions. And most of you who do not have wills, I certainly hope that you come on next week so the attorney can help you and tell you how to have your will. But until then, brothers and sisters, like I said, our mics are open. Anyone who have any comments or have any questions, you still have time to answer them. You have time to identify your business. Our mics are open, and we welcome your comments. Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, like I said, the New Africa Business Association, Bilal Bynum, I am your host, along with my co-host, Brother Aziz, and we're both, along with our guest, of course, Miss Baker is one of our directors here at the New Africa Business Association. Miss Baker's been with us for a long, long time, along with the attorney, Miss Williams. You've heard her before, but she'll be on next week And we just look forward to continue to serve our guests. Like Brother Harris has said before, this is not about money with us. This is about, with me, I can tell you, it's about $1.7 trillion that we're spending in our communities that have put red lines against us, try to force us to spend monies in their communities because of trying to make it impossible for us to have these businesses in our own communities. But nothing is impossible. Like Brother Harris said, in our communities, if you own your properties, and I put a big emphasis on that, if you own your properties, you're in charge. But if you're not the owner of your properties in your black communities, then it's a good possibility you could be replaced in your own. And it's happening every day. It's happening every day. You get notices where your lease won't be renewed. Because again, somebody is seeing values in your properties or your communities, and they want to collect those values for themselves. And because you don't own your own properties, you rent, then you can be replaced. So again, brothers and sisters, become owners, business owners, and become landowners, but most of all, become
homeowners.
So again, if we have,
that's right.
We still got a few more minutes. We have some comments. Make your comments go right ahead. We welcome.
Yes, Sister Baker hit it right there. Home ownership. Right now in the African American community, we have less than 41% home ownership within our community. And it comes from the lack of education about how to properly prepare yourself to be a homeowner. But not only that, we have the issue of what Brother Bonham was talking about. Redlining is still happening. We have issues as a real estate broker all across the country. Our families are facing biased appraisal situations, where they'll go in and appraise a property in our neighborhood for 20, 30% less than a house that's two blocks over that is in a predominantly different type of community. So we have to make sure that we're not only participating in owning the block, but we have to get into home ownership, because a lot of the African-American wealth was built in home ownership in 2008. When the financial crisis happened, more than 90% of the wealth of the African-American community was wiped off the books, and they have not recovered. We have not recovered from 2008. We have to make a strong emphasis every time we're engaging with each other in our community, the importance of ownership. Because no matter who you are, you got to have a place to live and to have your own sanctuary for you and your family. And it behooves us as professionals to make sure that our clients are homeowners. If you're a financial planner and your client doesn't own a home, you need to be asking them why. If they say they don't want to own a home because they don't want the responsibility, then tell them they should think about owning an investment property. It is important that we get this next generation into not what we call affordable housing, because nobody wants a handout. What we need is essential housing for people that are doing the everyday work that are being priced out of our communities. They can't even buy homes at the rate that our generations before us could. Right now, the average home in most major cities are over $350,000. It is starting to push up to $500,000. So we really have to make sure that we connect together, practice group economics, so that we can build our own subdivision, I just want to share this story with all of you right now. I had an opportunity for my office to be engaged in an experience that I've never experienced in 28 years. As a real estate broker, a finance broker, I've been licensed a Series 26, 24 financial advisor, is how I started in this business. Last week, I was able to get an African-American developer, an African-American title company, an African-American real estate broker, an African-American financial planner, an African-American buyer, African-American mortgage broker, at one table on one transaction.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to see seven different industries that were represented by African-Americans. That is how we're going to change the game. When we start practicing group economics and we're looking out for our own self-interest as a group, we can begin to change some of the dynamics that we see in home ownership, that we see in commercial development. So I'm encouraged and I'm honored to be among the group that we're on right now, but it's up to us to make these changes. If you have five colleagues that are financial advisors or planners or accountants or CPA, call them. Tell them that they need to get on board with the movement and make sure that not only do their clients have a game plan to become a homeowner, but that they are a homeowner as well. So those are my comments on home ownership. I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm very passionate about what I do. I study everything that has to do with money and development and finance. So I have an array of knowledge from experience, not just from reading.
All right, Brother Harris, thanks so much. Again, our mics are open. Any comments that anyone will have, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
I guess in getting back to home ownership, too, it's just like since they changed our in looking at this, economics and things like that. It's just since they changed our tax system, it's really got a lot of people confused about home ownership too, because in the past we were able to write off interest our real estate taxes, but the way it's structured now, it's like you're really not able to write it off because they did some creative deductions where they did create a deduction where you can't write that off anymore, but it doesn't mean that you should not buy a house. Because just like you said, buying a house brings about wealth and it brings you into different types of business aspects and business investments. So just because our kids will never see that deduction unless they change the tax structure back. They will never see that deduction, so we've got to teach them to still purchase a house because you have to live somewhere. Even though you'll never know the tax structure the way we know it because they didn't change it, unless they change it back, their tax thinking and their tax taxes and the way they think about taxes is going to be a whole different way than the way that we did. But we still got to educate them on how to work through that. But home ownership should always be there whether you're able to write it off or not. Because if you think about a long time ago, our parents weren't able to write it off. They still purchased a house.
Correct.
Exactly.
That's correct.
That's right.
Like one of the things that Sister Baker, how do we overcome that is through education. So one of the things that we teach our clients, and especially young clients, is that the very first type of property you should own is not a single family home for yourself. It should be a single family investment property, like a duplex or a fourplex. And the reason why is that you want to teach them how to create cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So if your first piece of real estate is a investment, now you can write that off. So now you get into the mindset of when I go to buy a property, I'm buying it in the name of my corporation or LLC. Now you begin to use the benefit that the wealthy people have been using for years. We just didn't know it.
Yeah.
So the tax structure that they did was on purpose to continue to keep an entire group of people blocked out from these advantages. And the only way that you can take advantage of those things is to be a business and to own it as investment. So that's what we have to teach our people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to teach our young people that SAP, because they'll never understand our concept, because our concept is gone of okay, I'm going to buy a house because I'm able to write it off. You know what I'm saying? that concept is out the window. So just like you said, you got to teach them to actually invest in real estate, because just like you said, you have to live somewhere. But you also can also just invest because someone else has to live somewhere.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so again, you can see, again, we are still filling in our suitability financial report. Boy, I tell you, the more we talk, the more we can fill in. But you have to fill it in because you're learning stuff. And that's what I said. The more information you can share with professionals like ourselves, the more we can help you to reach your financial goals. And so, again, our brothers and sisters, we have about 5 or 10 more minutes still left. Any questions or any comments that anyone wish to make? Our mics are open to you. We welcome your comments.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, you know, get any information, again, they can, you know, go to samgenrealty.com, or they can call us at 813-358-5947 any information about real estate and development opportunities.
All right. Our directors are from the Texas and the Standard Time directors. Do we have any of our directors from that part of the country, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Texas? Any of the directors from that area, are they with us tonight? Okay. Well, in any case, brothers and sisters, like I said, it's been a very, hopefully we have given you some very informative information. Next week, we're going to be doing completely estate planning seminar. We'll take as much time as we need to make certain that we can share, because when we remember, brothers and sisters, when we say we're going to bring on the accountants, the financial planning, and the attorneys. Just think if you went into any of our office individually, you went into the attorney's office and you wanted to sit there and talk about your estate, your wills, and your living trust, and the executives of your estate, and all kinds of other personal information that you may have about your estate. Well, the time you walked into that office and the time you sat down, the attorney, this professional person, put you on the clock. Their fees is $150 to $200 an hour. The same thing with the accountant. Walk into in there and all of a sudden helping you with all of the details, but at the same time, their fees is $150 to $200 an hour. Same thing with a financial planner. You go in and, like I said, he's filling up that suitability, and you're telling him everything that you need him to know so he can help you. But his fee is the same thing, $150 to $200 an hour. Here, the New Africa Business Association, is bringing you all of this information, and all you have to do is call in. So I'm saying the small man who cannot afford a financial planner, the small man who cannot afford a CPA, the small man who can't afford financial planner, the estate planner. New Africa Business Association, see, we're here to service our communities. And that means from top to bottom. Because why? We want to show each other, like I said, values. We have all types of values in our communities. But again, we just can't see it. We can't realize it because we don't have the knowledge to see it or to realize it. But so again, brothers and sisters, Brother Harris, Miss Baker, Brother Aziz, thank you for your time. Thanks for your services. Because again, your communities, and remember, there are those who are on internet who we won't know anything from them until we go on our statistics events tomorrow and see how many was on was the listing from internets and the comments that they are making. So again, we're here to service our communities. And so until next week, this is the New Africa Business Association saying, good evening, Brother Aziz. Again, we're going to give you a chance to say good night again. Brother Harris and Miss Baker, thanks so very much for your participation. We really, really appreciate you guys. And Brother Aziz, any last comments? If not, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. Okay, well, in that case, brothers and sisters, this is the New African Business Association. Until next week at the same time, we greet you in the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum, and good night.
Hello. Good night, bro. Good night.
Just